Hello, welcome to Christ Church at Grove Farm Sermon Podcast. In addition to our Sunday services, we are kicking off our Wednesday and Wilson study of Elijah and how it points us to the life of Christ. If you would like more information about Christ Church at Grove Farm or would like to connect with our pastors, staff, or ministry leaders, I would encourage you to visit our website, ccgf.org. Enjoy the message from this week. Grace and peace to you.
We're going to look at Elijah's humanity tonight, even though he does portray for us a portrait of Christ in the Old Testament. But as we look at his humanity, I think we're going to see ourselves. In those times, perhaps of fear and discouragement, if, like Elijah, we will hear God's word and respond, there will be revival, maybe resurrection, and commissioning for the next task. Our scripture tonight is 1 Kings chapter 19. Ed, it's not on this monitor either, which is what I was going to read from. If you have your Bible and would like to follow along in 1 Kings chapter 19, we're in a new chapter now in the Old Testament. And I do have a copy here, which I think I can read. So let's follow along together. Wow, there it is. And listen as I read to you from God's Word. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the South Gorham Baptist Church in South Gorham, Maine. My dad was the pastor of this church, along with another Baptist church about 10 miles away for a number of years when I was a child. And my father and mother conducted Vacation Bible School. And in those days, Vacation Bible School was 2 weeks for every church, from 9 o'clock in the morning till noon, Monday through Friday. And so as a child, I got to go to Vacation Bible School 4 weeks in a row. And I can remember how exhausted my parents would be after directing not 1 2-week-long Vacation Bible School, but 2 of them. And after it was all over, they were always completely exhausted. And yet I remember to this day them always saying, "Oh, what a letdown. What a letdown." And you know, that's often the way it is in ministry. When you have those great moments, those high moments, those intense moments in ministry, when it's all over, there's a letdown. And you can ask your pastors this, and I bet they will affirm exactly what I'm saying. And you know when you really need to pray for your pastor? Well, certainly before the sermon, but especially on Monday, because that's when the letdown is. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. Last week, we talked about this great victory on Mount Carmel, where the power of God was displayed. And the people said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And the prophets of Baal were eliminated. The fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. And then Jezebel, the wicked queen of Israel, after hearing about the events in Mount Carmel, sent a message to Elijah and said, "You're next. You're going to be like those prophets of Baal and Asherah. I'm going to kill you." And Elijah was afraid. And we read the story about Iran. He ran from the northern part of Israel and Jezreel down to Judah to get out of the kingdom to Beersheba. And again, in the life of Elijah, even in these moments of fear and discouragement, we still see parallels to the New Testament story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read that when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and he went on to be by himself, to sit under a broom tree and contemplate the fact that he was as good as dead. And what did Jesus do when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane? He left his friends, his disciples behind, and withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed. And Elijah was as good as dead. And Jesus knew that he was going to die. There certainly was a similarity there between these moments in their lives. And we read that an angel revived him. An angel revived Elijah. And if you read the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read in Luke chapter 22, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And then Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there's that parallel, though the chronology, of course, is a little different. The events are now different. But it was 40 days from Jesus' resurrection until he entered the very presence of God in heaven in the spiritual realm on the day of his ascension. So, what are some of the lessons that we can learn from this story? Well, the first lesson is that often after a spiritual high, there comes a spiritual low. And in that spiritual low, there may be discouragement or depression. And you know, I believe that sometimes God even allows things to come our way to get us refocused, because after those spiritual highs, we can perhaps be less than humble, and we can look to ourselves and our own ability rather than to the fact that it was really God's Spirit that was doing the work. A number of years ago, I was preaching at Bethany Presbyterian Church up in Mercer. That was the church that I pastored for 22 years. And we had a full house that morning, and I preached a really good sermon. And I was, after the benediction, I would normally walk back the aisle, and it was a second-story sanctuary. And I go down the stairs and open the door right under the church steeple, and there I would greet people as they exited. And so I'm thinking to myself that morning as I made that journey, I'm thinking, that was all right. I really nailed it this morning. And so I got downstairs and I opened the door, and people started to come through and they were looking at me. And then I realized there was something really wrong on my very nice pulpit robe. There was a glob of pigeon poop. You see, the Lord had prompted one of the pigeons that lived in our steeple to remind me that I needed to be a little more humble. And you know, sometimes things like that happen, don't they? Sometimes God allows us to be humiliated, to be humbled, or even to go through discouragement or depression. Now, I know that compares nothing to what Elijah was experiencing. Elijah was scared. He was frightened because his life had been threatened. And when that happens, we need to remember how God has worked in the past. And we have to wonder, how could Elijah have forgotten all of the things that happened in the last 3.5 years? And yet, that happens to us, doesn't it? When we're faced with discouragement or challenges in life, we forget about all of the things that God has done in our lives. Look at the things that had happened to Elijah. The famine he foretold came to pass. He'd been fed by ravens. The widow's barrel of flour and jug of oil did not run out. He had seen the woman's son raised to life. Fire from heaven had fallen on his sacrifice. The rains had returned at his prayer. And he'd outraced the king's chariot all the way to Jezreel. And in spite of all of that, he was discouraged and he wanted to die. Lesson number 3. The Lord can and will revive and renew us, but we must arise and eat. Sometimes we just can't remember all of the good stuff that's happened. And I wish we could perhaps take more time to share with one another about the good things that God has done. You know, if you're here tonight, I'm guessing that something really, really great has happened in your life. You have been adopted as a son or a daughter of God through the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's even better than any of these things. And yet, when discouragement comes, we sometimes forget that, don't we? We forget that we're a child of the King. And so we need to arise and eat in order to experience that resurrection, that revival, that renewal. And so we want to emphasize a daily feeding on the Word of God. We've talked about the significance of bread in these Elijah stories and how that always points to God's Word throughout the entire Bible in the New Testament. And in this case, we're talking about water being the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because it's water that is life to us. It refreshes us. It renews us. And that's what happened to Elijah as the angel touched him and he arose and he found bread and water there, and he had to do it 2 times. And so the message for us is that, you know, we need to arise regularly and have this daily feeding on the Word of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then Elijah began his journey to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was the place where Moses had received the Ten Commandments. And he had already traveled from Jezreel to Beersheba, which was about 100 miles, and he had to travel about 260 more miles from Beersheba to Mount Sinai. And we could get into a big debate about how come it took him 40 days. Why didn't it only take him about 11 days? Because if that would be the normal walking speed, we won't worry about all of that. I love Billy Graham, who on the television commercial talks about the Bible, and he says, "I don't understand it all, but I believe it all." And that's where he went. He went to the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, the place where the people of God had received the Ten Commandments and the fire of God had fallen and the voice of God had roared and the people were scared to death. That was where Elijah went to seek God's presence. And when we're discouraged, when we're dealing with those lows, what better thing to do than to seek the presence of the Lord? And as he got there, we read, and the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Really, what God was saying is, how did you get to this point in your life? And we all come to those points in our lives when we need a little self-evaluation. We need to ask ourselves, how did I get here? Because when we ask ourselves how we got to where we are, all of a sudden we think about where we've been and what God has done for us. He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. You ever sounded like that? Yeah. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. You know, God seldom speaks to us in spectacular ways. We would like that, wouldn't we? Especially when God has been silent for a while. We would like a finger to appear and write on the wall. Or we would like thunder and lightning to surround the loud voice of God, telling us that he still loves us and has a plan for us. But that's not the way God usually speaks to us. Usually it's in a whisper. Sometimes it's in a song, or maybe in a scripture verse, or a sermon, or possibly even in the words spoken by a friend. And if we're not careful, we might miss it. We have to listen for it, and sometimes we have to wait for it. But God always keeps his promise because we are his daughters and sons, and the whisper will be heard. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I don't know that that was a whisper. He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Here's another parallel. Essentially, Elijah prayed the same prayer to God two times. And interestingly enough, it's somewhat similar to the prayer that Jesus prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he said, "Lord, take this cup from me, if it's your will, but not my will, but your will." Kind of a prayer of recognition that things are really bad, and unless you give us further direction, Father, I don't know what to do. And notice that that is immediately what the Lord did for Elijah. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet." You see, God still had things for Elijah to do. He was sent back to Israel to commission the next generation of followers, God's followers in Israel. They would write the next chapter in Israel's history. And we know that that's what Jesus did after the resurrection. Yes, Jesus died. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. We'll celebrate that on Good Friday. And then we'll celebrate again on Easter Sunday his resurrection. And then for 40 days, he commissioned his followers to be the next chapter in the redemptive history of God for the nations of the world. And that, of course, was the establishment of the church. See, God has plans for all of us, even when we're discouraged. We have to arise and eat and listen for his word. We know that verse in Jeremiah 29. Many of you have memorized this verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord's, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God has a plan for every one of us. even when we're discouraged, even when we're experiencing one of those lows. I have a dear friend, Gary Scott Smith, Dr. Smith, a former professor at Grove City College, who's just written a book, and I just forgot, my mind just went blank. Who did he write the book about?
Jackie Robinson,
right. He wrote a book. I put this in at the last minute here because it's so good. He wrote a book about Jackie Robinson. And as you know, Jackie Robinson was the first African-American Major League Baseball player, a great man of faith, a devout man of God who prayed daily. And I learned this, and some of you were at the event yesterday that I attended where Gary spoke. And in that, he told us about the fact that Jackie Robinson had been court-martialed as a military officer in the Army during World War II. I did not know that. And he told us about the fact that Jackie Robinson had been sitting on a military bus, and he'd been asked to move to the back of the bus, and he refused to do so. And so he was court-martialed for insubordination. Well, the military justice system prevailed and was just, and Jackie Robinson was acquitted of all of those charges. All of the charges were dropped, and he retained his status as a military officer. But what Gary pointed out was this. That event happened at the very same time that Jackie Robinson's unit was sent to the European theater to fight in the Battle of the Bulge. And if Jackie Robinson had been with his unit, more than likely he might have been killed. But God had a plan. And even a plan that for Jackie Robinson was challenging and difficult, having to undergo a military court-martial. Nevertheless, it preserved his life so that he could be the first African-American player in Major League Baseball. And there needed to be someone who had his courage and his faith in order to be successful at that task. God is sovereign and has a plan for our lives. Even when we are faced with those challenges and those discouragements and those times in our lives when we wish that maybe we could die, arise and eat and listen to the voice of God. Respond to it, because there's more for you to do. You see, with God in control, this is the last lesson for tonight. It's never as bad as it seems. 1 Kings chapter 19 finishes with this verse. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. See, Elijah was told back to go back to commission Elisha, because there were 7,000 people in Israel who had not bowed to Baal, who were part of God's kingdom. And the question that we have to ask is, were they all there in Mount Carmel? Probably not. Did all know that they were part of God's kingdom? Maybe. Did they need to be told? Perhaps. And I think 7,000 is one of those God numbers. I don't think it was exactly 7,000. It might have been a lot more. But, 7,000, well, 10 is God's perfect will for humankind. And 10 times 10 times 10, that's 3 tens, 10 to the third. Well, 3 is a Trinitarian number. And then 1,000, which is 10 to the third power, times 7, the perfect number of God's creation, that's 7,000. You see, I think this is a God number, right? I think it might have been more than 7,000. It was the number that God had perfectly ordained to be part of his kingdom, of his people. And somebody needed to go and tell them that. And Elijah was to go back and commission Elisha to be the prophet who would raise up a school of prophets that would tell those people about the kingdom of God. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Now, this may be a stretch, okay, but here we have Elijah, who represents Jesus, commissioning Elisha, who represents the saints in the church, and he's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen? 12 disciples, 12 yoke of oxen. I don't know, maybe a stretch, or maybe just another God number. So here's a review. When faced with life challenges, life's disappointments, when we've had a spiritual high and we have to deal with a spiritual low, we need to remember that that's to be expected. We need to remember what God has done in the past. We need to arise and eat regularly. Listen for God's gentle whisper. Know that God has a plan. And remember, things are never as bad as they seem. You know, in our country, I believe that there are 7,000, or maybe 70,000, or 7 million, or maybe 70 million people that God, through his divine providence, has reserved for his kingdom. And I'm guessing that some of those people know about it, but I'm thinking that there may be a lot of people out there in God's perfect number that don't know that they're part of that number, and somebody needs to tell them, right? Who's that going to be? Us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Elijah, who was really, really human and experienced discouragement. And we all go through those days as well. And our prayer is that from 1 Kings chapter 19, we can find inspiration to arise and eat and listen for your voice, though it may be just a whisper, and to respond, and to go. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.